Would you stand? I know it's your custom to stand. Amen. Just a very short passage, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And the entire text is actually 25:14-30. But we're only going to share for your hearing today verses 14-19. Matthew 25. Verses 14 through 19. It may be familiar. I can't assume it's familiar for everybody, but it may be familiar to you. It's a parable of Jesus. And it reads as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2. And to another one, 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Verse 18. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. God bless you. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. You can be seated. This morning, I want to talk very simply, especially to the officers, but to all of you, with these words from Jesus. I'm learning to listen to what Jesus says. Very simple. Be faithful. Sometimes we have to say the simplest things. Be faithful. The more I read this text and the more the Spirit spoke to me and lifted and said, faithfulness is expected. It's an expectation. So you officers and leaders that are being installed today, the word for you is be faithful, because faithfulness is expected of you. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, that we might receive your word, that we might receive instruction, light, and wisdom from you, Lord God. But ultimately, beyond the words, let us encounter you. And as we encounter you, would you transform our hearts and our minds so that we will walk more godly and closer with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. Because we run to the Bible. And we run to the Bible and we read it with a Western mindset. We read it through Western eyes. We read the Bible through our own cultural understanding. And sometimes we miss the depth of meaning. I told you in Sunday school I had this story. And in Sunday school I always thought that when they gave the 5 talents, it was like 5 quarters. 2 quarters. 1 quarter. And I said, you know, what's the big deal about making 5 quarters, 10 quarters? I could do that. What's the big deal about making 2 quarters, 4 quarters? What is the big deal? That doesn't seem like a lot to be making an issue of. But then I learned that a talent was not a coin. But a talent was more like a sack. And that when the owner gave sacks of money out, the one that received 5 talents, one sack of money may be about a day's wages or a year's wages. So that when the person receives 5 sacks, he receives about 20 years of a day laborer's wages. When he receives two sacks of money, he receives about 10 years worth of income. And the person that receives one sack received 1 year's worth of income. It's the magnitude of what they were given charge of. It's the magnitude of what they were given responsibility for. And I found out that when somebody gives you that much, they're going to hold you accountable. Officers and leaders, when people entrust you with positions, when you are entrusted with responsibility, don't take it lightly. Understanding you are being entrusted with a magnitude of responsibility. Amen. If you're working with people, even more so than money, even more so than material things, you're entrusted with souls. You're entrusted with how you manage the resources that belong to God. And if God entrusts you with it, he's going to hold you accountable for what you do. Amen. Just go with me. Go with me this morning. And let me help you get from your Westchester cultural ideology. And help you to get a Palestinian mindset. A Jewish Christian mindset. First, we have to understand that this passage that we're reading, amen, it's a serious passage because it's part of what's called the Olivet Discourse. Amen. And you have to understand Matthew's viewpoint when Matthew is writing. Matthew is writing to Jewish Christians and he's trying to help them understand about this Messiah. Amen. In the Jewish mind, the Messiah was a promised king who was going to come, and when he came, he would establish a earthly kingdom. He would overthrow political powers and he would restore Israel to prominence and rulership, and they were expecting him to be a right now God. They were expecting the Messiah to do those changes, to turn the world upside down. They were looking for it to be a right now situation, a right now happening. But Matthew was one of the disciples. And as one of the disciples, he had firsthand knowledge of what the ministry of Jesus would be about. And so he's trying to explain to the Jewish Christian mindset that the Messiah is not what you thought he was, that his first coming is not about overthrow. His first coming is about redemption. His first coming is to be the Savior of the world. His first coming is to lay the foundation for the kingdom. Amen. They're looking for a political leader, a political ruler who's going to make things different right now. And here it is. Jesus is talking about his kingdom is not of this world. Here it is. Jesus is saying, amen, I'm not what you think. Here it is, Jesus is saying the kingdom is here, but it's not yet. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm going to let you have a taste of my rule, but I'm not going to let you get the full experience of my rule because this assignment is different. So when we get in Matthew, we're reading about this Messiah King, amen, and what he's going to do in the world. Matthew is trying to convince people that he is legitimate. That he fulfills the prophecy, that he fulfills the promises of God, and trying to convince people to keep trusting in God, to keep holding on to him, even though he's a crucified Savior at the time. But he wants them to know he's coming back. So in this Olivet discourse, in this last teaching session, you do know this is the last teaching session. This is the teaching session, amen, where he does his final instructions. And somebody ought to put a pin there. I want to know what Jesus' last things were. Not just his seven last words, but what was his last sayings? What was his last teachings? Because there's something about last teachings when the leader is trying to prepare his followers, amen, to take the mantle, to take the run, to take the baton in his absence. It's his final teachings before his arrest and crucifixion. And so Matthew says he's the promised Messiah. Amen. 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 He is going to do what is promised in the scripture, but it's he's here, but it's not consummated yet. Amen. And so in these final teachings, this Olivet discourse, he focuses on the kingdom. He focuses on end times and last things, and he also focuses on his return. He wants his disciples to know, amen, amen, yes, I have a kingdom. Yes, the world is going to end, but guess what? I'm coming back. And it's more important for you to be prepared for when I come back than to be worried about the kingdom. Amen. Literally, he's saying the kingdom is my business, but it's your job to wait until I come. The kingdom is my business, but your job is to be ready when I come. The kingdom is my business. Your job is to oversee what I entrust in you until I come back. Your job is to be a steward. Your job is to watch over my stuff until I come back. Amen. He's entrusting his kingdom to his disciples and us. Can I say it another way? He entrusts his kingdom to his disciples, but by extension, because now we are his disciples today, he's entrusted his kingdom to us. And our job is to be faithful. Amen. The main thing I got to do is keep the faith. Be faithful. The disciples became the officers of the church, the leaders of the church. And he says, you got to do three things. Be watchful, be prepared, and be faithful. Be watchful, be prepared, and be faithful. And the hardest thing to do when a master delays his return is being faithful. The most difficult thing for church folk to do today is to be faithful. People have taken for granted that the Lord hasn't come back yet. So maybe he's not coming. So I better get what I can get now while I can. I better live how I can live now. I better build my own kingdom. I better get my own material possessions. I better have fun now. Because one day I'm going to die, and when I die, that's it. Many people have left the faith because God has not done it their way. Amen. Because they are frustrated with God's timetable. They are frustrated with how God works. Amen. But Jesus says, the one thing I need you to do, amen, you got to be faithful. Amen. You got to be faithful. Amen. Because you have been entrusted with the care and the advancement of the kingdom. Say that again. You have been entrusted with the care, but not only the care and the advancement of the kingdom. Help us, help us, help us to get deeper today. Help us to get beyond Sunday school today. Help us to get out of the kindergarten class. Help us to grow up and mature. Amen. I'm going to help you today because maturity belongs to leadership. If you're a leader, you need to be mature. Amen. You need to have an understanding of godly things. And so you, if you're a leader, you have been given a trust, a stewardship from God. You've been given a responsibility. Amen. And faithfulness is required because officers and leaders will be held accountable. Amen. For how they administer and manage whatever their assignment is. So if you're an officer and a leader in the church, you are a steward. You have stewardship responsibility. Amen. And understand this. I'm gonna walk it through you because we know the story already, but let me just help you a little bit first. Amen. Understand this. Stewardship in the Old Testament, amen, identified someone who managed the household of another. But then when it goes into the New Testament, stewardship involves more. It can be oversight of employees. It can be care for other persons. It can be charges over children. Amen. It can be watching over gifts. It can be using your gifts and possessions wisely. It can be how you use your time. Amen. Stewardship takes on a larger meaning. Amen. Amen. You are a steward because everything belongs to God. And whatever God gives you, he's just giving you on loan. And he's going to show up one day and ask you, what did you do with my stuff? Amen. Stewardship. Stewardship is a responsibility given to us by God. And if I'm a leader, I need to understand, number one, my role. Know your role. Know your role. It's not yours. Your position is not yours. It's not permanent. Amen. It's just given to you for a loan. Your title, amen, it's not yours. Amen. Your title is just to help you fulfill your responsibility. Amen. But you're doing it for the Lord. Amen. A steward, amen, has to understand you're not the owner. You are a manager. You are one who oversees something for another, and you're not doing it for yourself. You don't lead, amen, for yourself. You don't lead to have your name called. You don't lead, amen, for what you can get out of it. Amen. You lead because you love the owner. Amen. If you looked at 14 through 19, amen, Jesus says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you a glimpse of the kingdom. Amen. Can we go through this? Now I'm ready. Amen. Now we're ready. Amen. Listen, first verses 14 through 19, the kingdom of heaven. So he lets you know, first of all, I'm talking about kingdom. I'm giving a kingdom lesson now. If you're concerned about the kingdom, I'm getting ready to tell you about the kingdom of heaven. Listen what he says. It's like... Amen. It's similar to, amen. If you want to get a picture of what heaven is like, let me give you a view. It is like, amen. What did he say? It's like, it's a parable. It's like a man traveling. Amen. And he's going into a far country. Amen. Now we got to get that mindset back. Get that Hebrew, Palestinian, Israeli mindset. Amen. Go back, because there's a gap between now and history. Amen. We don't do it a lot today, but very wealthy people, they don't go to work like we do. Very wealthy people make their money work for them. Amen. Very wealthy people have people under them whose assignment is to manage their wealth for them. So let's get the mindset. The wealthy person is going to travel in a country, but he's got all this money. And he says, how am I going to travel with all this money? And not only how am I going to travel with it, but how am I going to make more money with it? I know what I do. I got some people that I trust. I got some people that work for me. They are my servants. Amen. The wealthy man is going to travel. Don't know how. Listen, in those days you would leave and you don't know when you're coming back. I mean, I'm leaving this afternoon. I'll be back Thursday. I got round trip tickets. Amen. But in those days, there wasn't even a Greyhound. There's no supersonic jets. Amen. And it's risky because all the travel is on land and sea. Amen. So if you're going into a far country, you don't know what can happen to you. You don't know where you're going to be delayed. You don't know how you're going to be stalled. Amen. So you just say, I'm leaving. I'm going to give this to you. And I'm coming back. Look at what it says. Called his servants to him. Amen. Delivered his goods to them. Amen. And then it just says he left. I mean, for real, it says he divided the goods to them and he left. But watch this. Watch this. Amen. Watch this. Amen. He gave to his servants according to their ability. If you're in a position, somebody thinks you have the ability to do the job. They are giving you an assignment based on what they believe you can manage. He gave to each one according to his own ability. You don't get your position based on what somebody else is doing. You get your position based on what you've done. You get your position based on how you've shown yourself to be loyal and capable. Amen. He gave to one five. And look at what it says. The Bible, it tells you the story right in the beginning. Amen. He gave one five. Amen. Doesn't even tell you how long it took him, but he made five more. That's what matters. It doesn't matter, amen, how long it takes you. It matters how productive you are with what you have. Amen, amen. He didn't say, I need you to make five. This is just what the one with five talents had the ability to do. He could turn it over and make five more out of it. Took the other one, two. Guess what? Turned it over. Made two more out of it. But this guy... Come on, there's always one. There's always somebody that has you have to put a but in God's story. Blessings and prosperity, everybody shouting, got it going on. They're productive, but there's this other character, this other joker. And guess what? God will give you a chance. That's why we say everybody's got at least one gift. Everybody's got at least one something that God has given you the ability to do. But here's what I want to say. If you're the person with just one, don't let your one be turned into a but. But this one, watch what the text says. Amen. He didn't turn it over. It says, but he who received one, this is the only one they talk about time, went. That means he took some time. He went with the time he had. And look what he did. He dug in the ground. And watch this. He hid his Lord's money. He hid it. Come on, say hid. He hid his Lord's money. He was not intending for it to be found. He was not intending for it to produce. He hid it. And when he hid it, come on now, follow Jesus. He hid it anticipating that the master was not going to come back. And if the master didn't come back, he did not want there to be a paper trail. Because if there was a paper trail, the heirs would be able to lay claim to the money. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on. Amen. Come on, come on. Amen. So here it is. Here it is. First of all, you got to understand your role. Your role is to be a servant. Amen. A servant leader, and to manage what you have in the interest of your master who's away. Amen. Knowing that your master's coming back, and one day you're going to have to give an account. But here it is. Here it is. Because somebody said, what's in it for me? When I first got this assignment, amen, the first thing the Lord said, amen, to me is, talk to them about what's in it for me. So here it is, the reward. Amen. The responsibility, but now we want to talk about the reward, reward, reward. Amen. Amen. So guess what? Verse 19, he came back. And when he came back, the first order of business was to settle accounts, to hold people accountable. To get reports on what you did with my stuff. Amen. Watch what happens. The one who had five, watch your Bible closely, because the Bible tells you what's happening. He brought his other five back and showed it to the master. You gave me five. Guess what? I got five on top of that. Amen. I'm excited about it. And he brings it and he hands it to him. The one number two, watch this, comes back and he brings it and he hands it to him. Amen. So the master doesn't have to look for it. Because he brought it back and he's glad. He says, I've been productive. Amen. I've gained. Here's two more. And listen at the reward. First of all, most of us just want to get the well done. Come on, let me help you grow. Amen. There's more rewards than a well done. Amen. Well done. Listen, both of them got the same assessment, the assessment. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Amen. That's the well done. I'm glad you're happy. You can shout right now if that's all you want. But the Bible says there's more to it than a well done. Amen. Amen. If you serve well and if you're faithful, amen, and if you show God your productivity and say, Lord, here's what you gave me, but now I want to show you how I increase it on top of that. Not only will there be a well done, but there's also an elevation. Amen. Somebody ought to say elevation. Amen. God will elevate you. God will promote you. If you are faithful over a few things, he says, now come on up a little bit higher. I'm going to elevate you and I'm going to make you ruler over many things. I'm going to give you more stuff. I'm going to give you more responsibility. I'm going to let you share more in my kingdom management. Amen. God will elevate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get happy because I already know where I'm going. Amen. 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 So some of you are saying that's all I wanted was a promotion from the Lord. But God said, I'm not done yet. You got your well done. You got your elevation. He said, I'm giving a party. And I want you to come and be my special guest at the party. The party is for me. But I want you to sit at the head table with me. Come on to the party and share in the joy. Come on, it's a sharing, y'all. It's not a party for you, it's a party for the master. But the master said, come to my party and be. I see y'all don't even shout on that. Y'all not happy when the Lord is happy, y'all. Y'all not celebrating when the Lord is celebrated. That's why we miss our blessing. Because, see, our job ought to be to glorify God, to lift his name up, to exalt his name. And when the Lord is exalted, we ought to be like the angels. We ought to celebrate it. Amen. 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 When God is lifted up, we ought to celebrate it. We ought to turn flips when it's about the Lord. Amen. Because we're happy for what the Lord gets. The Lord gets celebrated. He says, come on and enjoy the party with me. Okay. All right. Okay. Wow. I'm preaching too long. I wanted this to be short. I cannot preach a short sermon. I apologize. Amen. Amen. But here it is. Here it is. Here it is. The celebration turns into the other side because there was a but. And so here's the rebuke for unfaithfulness. There is a rebuke. Look at what happens. Look at what happens. There's a bud in there. But the one who had one came to his Lord. And the implication when you read the text is that he comes empty-handed. The others brought theirs in front of them. Lord, look what I've done for you. But he says to the Lord, go and look. Go in my backyard. There's a mound out there. And if you dig in that mound, you're going to find, watch this, your stuff. Just like you gave it to me. I kept it safe. Didn't let nobody steal it. Didn't lose it. But you go get it. You go search for it. And you find it. And when you find it, you will find it just like I gave it to you. Excuses. Blaming the owner. How many of us make excuses when we don't manage well? How many of us make excuses? I know what kind of owner you are. I know what type of person you are. I know you like reaping where you don't sow. I know you like, amen, reaping and harvesting where you haven't planted seed. So, Lord, because of who you are, I was afraid. Because I didn't trust you, I was afraid. Because I didn't have confidence in you, I was fearful for you. And my fear of you stopped me from doing what I should have done. Lord, it's your fault that I buried it. Lord, it's your fault that I didn't do nothing with it. Lord, all I wanted to do was mind my business. You gave this to me. I didn't ask for this. Listen what the Lord says, the assessment. God not only looks at your actions, but God looks at your heart. Jesus is teaching us something here. He's not just looking at what you do, but he's looking at your heart to determine why you did it. And so the assessment is, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew about me, and yet you did nothing with it. The rebuke, with all that you knew, you could have at least took it to the bank and put it in a simple, everyday 0.2 interest bearing savings account. At least I could have made a couple of pennies. But because of your wickedness and your laziness and your fear, guess what? Amen. I'm not going to receive anything. Amen. I could have got it back with interest. But I'm not going to get nothing. Amen. So what is the punishment? Take from him what he has and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Somebody better hear me today. Amen. You got to be responsible with God's stuff. God is expecting you to be faithful. And what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is doing something with it. He expects productivity. And somebody said, I don't know if that story is for me. Well, you better read verses 29 and 30. Because 29 and 30, Jesus says, for everyone not just the officers today, not just the deacons, not just the trustees, not just the mothers in the church, not just the ministry leaders, but he says this message is for everybody, for everyone who has. Guess what? You're going to get more. Amen. And he will have abundance. You won't just get by, but if you manage your stuff well, God is going to give you abundance. That's what he means about shaking together, pressed down, and running over. He will give you abundantly, more than you can even think or act. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you. You don't have to beg him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But on the other hand, for him who does not have, even that he has will be taken away, and he will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, you ought to have your shout about now. You ought to know something. The old people, the seniors, I'm one of them now. They used to sing, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes seem drear, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. You'll be happy each step of the way. The songwriter says, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come, be not dismayed when men won't believe you. He'll understand and he'll say, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now let me elevate you. Come on up a little bit higher. I'm gonna make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to know something? It's real. It's real. Because on a hill called Calvary, they lifted him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head and he died. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. And when he got up, his father said, well done, well done. You've been faithful. Now come on up, sit at my right hand while I make your enemies mount your footstool. Then he said, he gave him not a name, but he gave them the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord. And one more thing, he's coming back again. He's coming back again for a church without spot nor wrinkle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's gonna judge, and when he judges, if you've been faithful, he's going to give you a crown, a gold crown, and you're going to put it on your head. You're going to be invited to the great coronation. And when they crown him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're going to reach up, take the crown off your head, and you're going to cast it at his feet. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Hallelujah. Do anybody got a praise in the house? Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.